The Indians are 39-30 heading into tonight's game against the Chicago Cubs, and they have surprised me. I'm pleasantly surprised. I picked them to finish 500 when the season began, so they're nine games over, and considering everything that's happened to them, it's very impressive. So a tip of the cap to Terry Francona and these players for only being 2.5 games out of first place in the AL Central behind the White Sox, and to find out how they're doing it and can they maintain this. Let's go to the Wake 'em Way hotline and bring in the outstanding Indians beat reporter at The Athletic. Zach Meisel joins us here on the Kenny and JT Show. How are you, Zach?
I'm doing well, fellas. How are you?
We're great. Thanks for making time for us. And I want to get to everything I said there in a second, Zach, but I want to touch base a little bit on your latest article for the guy that's on the hill and the only starter that the Indians really have now in their rotation, Aaron Civale, going today. The nickname, according to your article from the players, tell our listeners what they call Zach Meisel in the clubhouse.
What they call Zach Meisel in the clubhouse? I don't want to.
Oh,
know
I'm
that.
Sorry. Well, yeah, maybe you don't want to share that. What they call Aaron Civale in the clubhouse?
Aaron Civale is the chemist. They've cycled through a few ideas. I think the team was trying to push the magician for a few minutes, and I heard the professor and some other things. But it's the chemist, and it's a few reasons. Number one, he loved chemistry in school. He loved science. And it's why he was a mechanical engineering major at Northeastern. And if you really dive into how his brain works, it's a little bit like Trevor Bauer, not personality-wise whatsoever, maybe the opposite. But in terms of how he approaches things, in he likes to build something out of nothing. He likes to find a way to pinpoint a solution and use the tools at his disposal to do that. And he said as a kid, he was obsessed with Legos, and now I think 5 days ago, he finished his start against the Orioles and immediately started thinking about the Cubs, who he'll face tonight. And so he's studying video, he's studying data, he's asking teammates for input on how he can attack this Cubs lineup. And so they've come up with the chemist because he doesn't have the most overpowering stuff. So I think Shane Bieber said he concocts different ways to get guys out. James Karinchak called him a scientist.
Repertoire. Hold on a second, Zach. I don't think you want to be called the chemist with all this talk about MLB and the foreign substance right now, do you?
So I'll get there in a second. I mean, that's the thing is, because you're not the only person who's pointed that out. That's obvious. They're not like highlighting that aspect of things. But he doesn't throw 98. He doesn't have awesome stuff. But he throws six pitches, and he throws them all about the same frequency. So hitters are guessing, and he's coming up with different formulas for how to get guys out. And if you peek beneath the hood, you're not going to find some crazy spin rate jumps and decreases. I don't think that's something you have to worry about with him. So, yes, I know maybe the timing isn't great since today's the first day umpires will check players for substances, but I think he and the Indians are pretty safe in that regard.
Zach, all this talk started the beginning of June. Here we are now, all of a sudden they're saying strikeouts are down maybe as far as 23%. Does that have anything to do with these guys being a little bit afraid heading to the 21st?
Yeah, I think the big reason why this leaked early and why the league kind of gave an advanced notice was, if you're going to make a pretty substantial, I don't know if I want to say rule change, but enforcement mid-season, I mean, this is like the NBA didn't decide in February to say, hey, we're going to just do away with charging fouls. And so if you drive the lane and there's contact, it's always going to be a block. Like, it's, like imagine that happening in the NBA mid-season. So it's bad enough that this is happening during the season instead of before the season. So at least they give a little bit of notice. Pitchers had a few weeks to try to wean themselves off of it, to try to figure out how they're going to do this now and be able to grip the baseball when they're throwing certain pitches and, you know, do these pitches move differently now? Does that mean they need to change the grip? Does that mean they need to throw it differently? Do they need to throw other pitches more often? And so there's going to be a lot of changes, a lot of trial and error, a lot of figuring things out on the fly. And I think today is the official day where they can get caught and they can get penalized for it. But I think pitchers have been, those who were guilty, I think have been sort of preparing for this day for a couple of weeks now.
Talking with Zach Meisel here on the Wake 'Em Way Hotline on the Kenny and JT Show. Follow him on Twitter at Zach Meisel. Read his stuff at The Athletic. Is this a good move or a bad move by Rob Manfred, the commissioner, to do this mid-season, Zach?
Yeah, the mid-season part of it probably makes it a bad move because there are going to be a lot of unintended consequences. And, I mean, if it's true that this could lead to injuries, as Tyler Glass now of the Rays was claiming, then that's certainly a bad development. I think overall it's a good thing because it's going to make life a little bit more difficult on pitchers, and that's a good thing. We need more action. We need hitters to have more of a chance. I do think, though, that it could just lead to more walks. Like, guys are not going to have as much control. I think about, and I'm not outing James Karinchak here, though he certainly has been under the spotlight, but a guy like him who just throws a fastball and a curveball, the reason for him, if he used sticky stuff, the reason would be because you can get the spin on that curveball and that fastball to look the same, and to look, the spin rate is so high that a hitter can't tell if it's the fastball or the curveball coming at him until it's too late. And so that's why you see that curveball just totally falls off the face of the earth. Guys swing and miss at it when it's in the dirt. It's because of that. So if you think about that, you know, he's got to find a new way, I guess, to get guys out, or maybe just he won't have quite as good of a curveball. It at least evens the field a little bit here, where hitters, it's not impossible to hit anymore. It's just, it's gotten so, so difficult because pitchers have found so many ways to just have advantages through all the data and the video that they have available to them. So it could be a good thing. There could be a lot of unintended consequences. And the other thing is, you're leaving this up to umpires who have enough on their plate. We're already mad at umpires for not being able to call balls and strikes better. And now you want them to try to determine if that little spot on someone's arm or their glove is illegal, or maybe it's just sweat, or maybe it was, like, is it illegal to, and you're not supposed to use sunscreen and rosin now, but I mean, what if a guy doesn't want to get burnt if you're playing an afternoon game and he's pitching? I mean, it's so difficult, and this is going to become really subjective, and it's going to become controversial, and that's why I think doing it during the season on the fly like this is not the best idea.
We're talking to Zach Meisel, Indians beat writer, theathletic.com. Zach, all the time, only thing we ever hear about Major League Baseball is the games are too long. Will position players also be checked for this foreign substance? And if so, what about the pace of the game?
No, it's just pitchers, but that was my first question too, JT, is like, Rob Manfred is so intent on eliminating any unnecessary time. And some of these games have dragged on as it is. I mean, the Indians and Pirates yesterday played in like 2 hours and 40 minutes, and it was like a holiday. It's just like some of these games, they go on, and we still see hitters stepping out, and we see so many times they call time at the plate, and you know, there's a lot of dead time. And so I think the hope is that checking the pitchers will take place between innings during commercial breaks. But I mean, what happens when you think you see something? And maybe the pitcher's like, oh, that's not illegal. That's just sweat dripping down my arm. That's just, you know, like what if a guy's wearing lotion because he's got dry skin?
Is this thing going to be like a challenge, Zach? Is Tito going to be able to sit in the dugout and say, go check that pitcher? And if so, how many times?
And that's the thing, is that there are certain, the rules state that umpires are supposed to do this a certain number of times on their own accord with the starting pitcher, and then every new pitcher who comes in, you check too. But, you know, the reason why this escalated to this point is because everybody was doing it. So a manager didn't want to call out an opposing pitcher because then the other team is just going to call out every single pitcher on his team. Well, now that's not really the case. So you could see more of that. You could see accusations, and then the umpires have to get involved and do something. And I mean, it's just, there are so many scenarios that I'm sure the league has thought of, and so many that they haven't, that are going to come into play. And maybe this will, maybe this won't be a huge deal. You know, maybe the pitchers will just quit, and it won't be as big of a deal as we're expecting. But I think the fact that this has become the primary talking point about baseball for a month now, and it's what everybody in the league is talking about, it's because nobody really knows what's going to happen. And so I think we're going to see some surprising things that maybe we didn't expect.
I want to follow up with just one last question while we're on this topic. You think this is going to lead to legalizing some type of a substance? Because when we hear these pitchers like Gerrit Cole and others say we need something or it's going to lead to an injury, do you think eventually they're going to lay down and say, okay, well, you can't use Spider Tech, but you can use this?
Yes, exactly. I think that's part of why I think people are frustrated, is it's not like offense has only been down for 2 months. I mean, it's been down, trending this way for years. And it's become more and more difficult to be a good hitter each year for a while now. And once more pitchers started embracing analytics, and this really did start with Trevor Bauer, you learned how using some of this sticky stuff could help your spin rate and just make you a better pitcher. And so once I think pitchers are able to see that, more and more embraced it, guys talk, it becomes more widespread. And so I think that's why there's a lot of frustration that they're pulling the plug on this now, when you could have seen this coming and you could have made a change during the winter and you could have come up with something that everybody could use. And then if someone looks like they're using something different from that, that's when you penalize them. But at least everybody has something they can use. The issue, the reason why this is so difficult is because guys throw harder than ever. Everybody throws 97, 98, 99 miles an hour now. And when you throw that hard, it's harder to command it. And so even guys have been using this stuff all season, and we're still seeing crazy rates of walks, hit batters. And so now you're going to take away the stuff that makes it easier to grip the baseball. Those numbers could spike even more, and I think that starts to get a little dangerous. And then also, as you pointed out, you're walking more people, you're giving up more base runners like that, and not in an interesting way. It's one thing if guys are hitting more singles and doubles, but just more walks and hit batters, that's not a brand of baseball anybody wants to watch.
All right, let's turn our attention now, Zach, from with the chemist going tonight, Aaron Civale, for the Indians, to the Indians at 39-30. Only 2.5 games behind Chicago in the AL Central. How the hell is Tito doing this, and can it be maintained, Zach?
I was going to ask you the same question. I really don't know, Zach.
I've covered this team since, 1990, right? And I'm looking at this roster and those batting averages and the injuries and these pitchers, and I'm thinking to myself, seriously, smoke and mirrors? How are they doing this other than maybe other teams in the league suck worse than the Indians? I don't know.
What's weird is they've actually fared well, or relatively speaking, they've fared pretty well against the good teams. Their record against teams with winning records is about 500, and there are only a couple teams in the American League better than that. I mean, the White Sox are in first place. They've been actually pretty bad against teams with winning records. So, if you didn't know their record, if you didn't know anything about their season and you just looked at the stats, the individual stats, I think you would guess that this team was 5 to 10 games below 500. I mean, it's really strange. I think the bullpen's been a huge part of it. Obviously, they've been able to rely on Shaw, Karinchak, and Class A. I know that those guys had a rough weekend, but just overall, it's when you're having the rotation issues that they're having, where it's Aaron Civale and a bunch of nameless backup dancers, you need to be able to shorten the game. And so they feel confident if they can just get to the sixth or the seventh inning with a lead, and it's worked out for them. The offense is so strange because Jose Ramirez has done what Jose Ramirez always does, and it seems like the Robin to his Batman has changed maybe by the week, where it was Framil Reyes for a while. Ahmed Rosario has gotten going, which has helped. Eddie Rosario has been a little bit better lately. Harold Ramirez has come out of nowhere and been a really big bright spot for them. But that's it. And, like, that shouldn't be enough to vault a team to 39-30. So I think it's just been timely hitting, and they're pretty good. When they have a lead, they usually don't relinquish it. And then when they're down, I mean, we've seen a lot of games where they lose, like, 10-3. I know they almost came back and pulled off a miracle the other night, but for the most part, it's like when they're down big, they're down big, and that's when they can empty the bench and they can use those relievers who seemingly only pitch in blowout losses. But it's crazy. I mean, the thing about the sustainability is there should be roster changes no matter what happens. I mean, you're going to get Reyes back pretty soon. You're going to get Plesac back, which will help. Roberto Perez will help. And then you have some guys at AAA or maybe on the trade market that you can add. So it's like, is this sustainable the way they've played the first 70 games? Probably not. I don't think, I mean, even Carl Willis was like, I don't think we can, you know, deploy the rotation the way we have lately for the next 3 months. But you should get healthier, and certain guys who have struggled, like even Eddie Rosario, I think you can assume he's going to hit for more power. He only has 5 home runs right now. So if you think about it that way, then yeah, it's sustainable just because things will change and you should be a more complete team. But the style that they've played, where it's like they're basically, you know, just trying to escape a burning house for the first half of the season, you can't keep playing that way, no.
It's weird. I mean, it's almost as though, you know, you talk about chemistry. How about these guys coming up and having chemistry because they've played together, whether it was at AA or AAA. And when they get up there, maybe they have a sense of ease. I don't know what it is. Zach Meisel is our guest right now. Zach, you mentioned some of these guys coming back from injury. Are there any exact dates? Because any time you turn on the TV, you can see Framil Reyes, he's taking batting practice. They sent him down to the captains or whatever. Zach, please, Zach, should be up at the beginning of July, but are there any exact dates for any of these guys coming off the IL?
No, Reyes is going to start a rehab assignment tomorrow, I believe, with Columbus. So that's just a case of how many at-bats do you need before you feel like you're in a groove again. Sometimes it's a week, sometimes 2 weeks, probably no longer than that. So he'll probably be first back. I would think probably around the end of this month, start of July. And then Plesac and Roberto Perez are next. I think they could also start rehab assignments soon. Plesac's throwing a bullpen session today. That's a second one. Usually after that, you either start a rehab assignment or you throw a bullpen session with a ton of pitches. So They'll get them back. You know, Bieber will probably be after that. So there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But you're still going to have to piece things together. Wednesday is their last off day until the All-Star break. The schedule gets much tougher in July, so this isn't going to be simple. Getting guys back will help, but you also just you can't assume they're just going to come back and, you know, catch fire right away.
Right,
so.
And a team that historically doesn't like to spend a lot of money and make the trade deadline moves, and here we are 5 weeks away, basically, July 31st trade deadline. For a team that doesn't like to spend a lot of money, if they're able to stay consistent, maybe 8-9 games over 500, maybe 2.5-3 games out of first place, can you see this team pulling off a trade at the trade deadline? Or do we simply just keep maneuvering guys back and forth from Columbus?
Yeah, I think you can see a trade, but I think it's going to be not maybe what you're thinking of. Like, they're not going to go add Max Scherzer. They're not going to go add Trevor Story, the shortstop from Colorado, who's making more money than they probably want to spend. I think they will be looking for upgrades, but I think their priority is an outfielder or maybe even a starting pitcher, someone who they can have for 3 or 4 years, not just 3 months. That doesn't mean that they wouldn't acquire a rental, but, you know, if they're going to acquire a rental, it's probably not going to be some star player because they don't want to give up much. When I guess the way to think about it is they think of things in terms of several years, not just 2021. And this is a new chapter. I mean, they don't have Lindor anymore. the rotation has been completely turned over. The days of Bauer and Clevinger and Carrasco are over. So they really think of this as like year one of X number of years where they can be competitive. And so I think if you look at it, and especially with the farm system, where you could have a bunch of new faces and talented prospects come up next year and the year after that, they should be better as they go. So if you think of it like that, you probably want to acquire someone who's going to be here for several years, just because this probably isn't your best shot at it. I mean, this team, we can all see the warts throughout the roster. You're not going to fix all of those right now and go win a World. I mean, who knows? Anyone can get hot at the right time. We saw it in 2016, but odds are this is not the team that's going to win you a championship, and that you're going to be better positioned to do that a year, 2 years, 3 years from now. So if you want to make upgrades because you are in the race and you have some glaring weaknesses, but you have to think about the future too. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they moved maybe a few 19, 20, 21-year-old prospects for someone who's, say, 25 and has a couple years of big league experience that they can have in left field, center field for the next 3 years.
Who's the most important of the injured guys to get back, Zach Meisel?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, it's got to be Bieber, but, you know, I think Plesac is probably just as important just because Bieber is a superior pitcher, but they literally just need anybody, and Plesac is probably going to come back first. So I would say those guys, because they need – I mean, it's impressive, like, I don't think anyone expected Sam Hentges to throw five scoreless innings yesterday. And Cal Quantrill looks like he belongs in the rotation now. But, man, I mean, you cannot keep piecing this thing together day by day. They literally, Terry Francona and Carl Willis and a front office member or two, they congregate in Francona's office after every game to say, all right, good game tonight. Now, who's pitching tomorrow? I mean, that's unheard of. For
everyone,
any team, let alone a contending team in June.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy with everything that's going on. And add on top of that, now the league is making you not put foreign substances on the ball. So let's see how that affects, like you said, Karinchak. Let's see how that affects some of the other guys, in Major League Baseball as well. And they're keeping things interesting. They're in contention. I give them credit. I wasn't sure they would be able to do it to this point, so I'm happy with what I'm hearing as I listen to the games with Hammy and Rosie, and let's hope it continues, because for all of us, that means good things for you covering the team, JT and I, listening and watching games and talking about them. This team isn't as bad as a lot of people thought they were going to be and might be a playoff team.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I projected about a 500 record. I had low expectations. I expected growing pains. It's a young roster. But you can be upset about the payroll and upset about how the last couple of years have gone, where it didn't seem like they really went for it and tried to capitalize on that special core that they had. But if you can just separate that and compartmentalize and just look at this year for what it is, they've kept it interesting. You're right. I mean, like, they've played, it's ugly at times, and especially early on when the offense was just brutal. But especially like the last month or so, they played a really entertaining brand of baseball, and they keep defying logic with the way they've put this together. So, yeah, it's definitely, it can hold your attention and make for a fun summer.
All right, Zach, thanks so much for making time for us on short notice. Keep up the great work there at The Athletic. We'll talk to you again down the road. Be well, my friend.
Sounds good, fellas. Thanks.
Zach Meisel, outstanding Indians beat reporter at The Athletic, breaking it down for us. Not only the Indians and how they're 39-30, but also the substances on the baseballs. All that starts tonight with umpires enforcing that rule. Let's see, JT, when we come back, let's talk about who you think might be the first Indians pitcher to be questioned about that when we come back with the substances and now that the umpires are supposed to take a closer look at that. You want to react to any of that? Indians fans out there, phone lines are open, 330-450-1480. It's the Kenny and JT Show.